Romania Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. Kia ora tātou. And this is a special program for me, something that I'm quite passionate about. And that is the intergenerational connections that are taking place in our society and helping not only our youth and our young people, but helping our older people feel better connected and less socially isolated. And I have in the studio with me Karen Verney from Generations Connect New Zealand. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. It's great to be here again.
And Karen comes from a background of primary teaching, and we have had her on the show before, but I'm especially interested to talk about the actual beginnings of Generations Connect in New Zealand, because what I'm noticing at the moment is a lot of spontaneous intergenerational activities springing up suddenly. So we're finding libraries presenting bridging generations through stories, what they call Page to the Future sessions on the North Shore. And I'm seeing some retirement villages setting up visits from local kindergarten children. And this is not just bringing peoples together in the same room and leaving them to hit it off, but it's an organised intergenerational activity where it's planned and it's properly sequenced, so there are good outcomes for everyone. And I'm particularly interested in the personalising of the connections with the seniors in the retirement village and how they're doing different sorts of activities with the kindy children. It's not just one type of activity. And also the butterfly houses that the seniors have created or helped to create and put together, the men's shed team from Settlers Retirement Village. They've actually not only built a butterfly house in Settlers, but they've seen the joy that the children have had who've been visiting their grandparents in that retirement village, and they've offered to do it elsewhere. So they've done a butterfly house with the Christian School, and it's involved an older age group who are looking at the science of the development of the life cycle of the butterfly and what's happening to our monarchs at the moment. Why are the pests having a field day, and why the populations are dropping, and so on. So there's a great deal of activity and interest in many different levels with the intergenerational things going on. I'm really interested to know, Karen, what started you on your journey of setting up Generations Connect New Zealand?
Yeah, I suppose it's a journey that started a few years ago now, back in 2023. I was able to view a program online called Old Homes for Four-Year-Olds, which played in New Zealand, an Australian edition of it. It originated from the UK. And I'm, as you said, a primary screen teacher, and at the time I was very focused on the benefits that the children got from those interactions, if I'm being totally honest. Fast forward a few years after that, and my father was in a retirement village down in Whanganui and was struggling with some mental challenges because his mobility was failing. And I always so noted what he was like when he was around my children or his other grandchildren, how his demeanour and his ability to cope with things was different. But I think the crucial part was during one of my visits, I was down with my mother at morning tea, and we were sitting around a table with lots of different older adults within that retirement complex. And my mum turned to a lady and said to her, "Oh, what did you do over the weekend?" And she said, "Oh, I just sat in a chair and stared at the wall all weekend." And that was, I think, for me, the crucial part that went, something's not right here. We've got people who look like they have got lots of connections around them, but are actually very isolated. And got me on to thinking back to that program and actually looking from a different perspective, the benefits not only for the children but the older adults. And then just started this journey and passion of finding out more about what it entails, how we do it well, how we get the most out of it for everybody and for communities. And yeah, Generations Connect was born out of that need, I suppose, to really bring together, like you said, the evolving new things that are happening, but sort of bring them together so other people are aware of how important they are.
And it's important that the two-way benefits take place. You should stress that. Maybe you can also look at it from the point of view of it's not coexisting, it's actually working out how you're going to collaborate.
Yeah, I think there is this, like you said before, we have lots of different ways that we have multi-generational things happening. You know, we're in a space and there's lots of different generations. You know, and depending on the context, they're really important. But to sort of really, I suppose, get the most benefit from an intergenerational point of view, we need to make sure that there is collaboration, connection and conversation to bring those two generations together. We don't want them doing an activity side by side. We want to create environments where they're actually having to talk, having to negotiate, having to learn together to develop those. And the reciprocal part of it is also really important. We're not wanting to create environments where one generation is ultimately going to benefit more than the other. So when we're planning out these things, we really need to listen to what people want, what are their needs, look at the environment and think, how can we balance this out so everyone is benefiting in the same, different maybe ways, but they actually have equal benefit. It's not sort of a lopsided.
And I think if we look historically, even up to the 50s and 60s, we did have quite a lot of intergenerational living going on in ordinary families. Families were extended families. And weekends and holidays, they were doing things, cousins and aunties and uncles were doing things together. And so having to plan for this sort of thing is actually a new development in society. We didn't have to plan specifically for these things to happen. They happened normally as part of our living.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, in certain ways, society's changed. And we're not saying intergenerational happenings or events don't happen naturally in our different society, because they do. But I think there's more and more that don't have those opportunities to have those interactions now, from people and families are moving away for work, or, you know, there is more with the social media things. You know, younger people are more sort of, I suppose, focused on technology maybe more than maybe what they would have been doing in the past, not just from an intergenerational point of view, but just naturally, you know, going out and playing in the back garden's probably not as common as it was even when I was a child. So, I think the opportunity for people is getting less and less in some areas, but it doesn't say it's not happening at all, because I do think it happens. It's just finding how we bring it back for everyone to be able to access.
And so what, from your evaluations and considerations and reflections on the programs that you've seen in action, what do you think's working in the early development of this concept and your organisation?
I think what's working is that it sometimes surprises people the benefit they get themselves out of these interactions. The challenge, I think, at the moment for us, with the pilot program we're running at the moment, is if people, especially from our older adults' point of view, taking that risk to try something a little bit different and new. We had a great group who did that first leap into the unknown and have come along, and they would not now not come. You know, they just say, well, when's the next one? So we have to sort of say, well, it's in the, you know, the way it works is not instant. But it's that first initial, it's out of my comfort zone or a bit different. And I sort of say to people, you know, what we're running at the moment is one way it can work. That way may not work for you, and that's okay. So if it doesn't, then we find something else. Interestingly enough, we had a older adult who was interested, but was quite honest in that she said, you know, I love my grandchildren, but I'm not quite sure about other children. I'm not quite sure whether that would be what I would like. And we said to her, well, look, come along, see what it's like. And, you know, if it doesn't work, that's fine. So she came along, she was there for a session. And at the end, she said, well, that surprised me. You know, it was not what I had perceived, and I will definitely be back next week. So, yeah, sometimes it's that initial unknown, and I think different communities have different needs, and so it's finding what best works for them.
Mm, indeed. And I know from some of my experiences and looking at things, it's keeping it simple, and it's having strong partnerships. So there's actual practical support, and you can rely on funding and structures to keep on going, because it's no use having a wonderful thing and then everyone wants it to go on and people sitting around looking at the sky, well, who's going to provide it and how is it going to happen, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm quite passionate about looking at what's already existing and how can we tweak the current offering that you may give to include an intergenerational aspect within it without, like you say, reinventing the wheel. Keeping it simple is definitely the thing. And sometimes it's not around what you're doing, it's just, as we said, how you do it to get that interaction. So you may not actually have to change much. It might just be that during a normal gathering you think of inviting another group along, and the logistics to that might not be as challenging as you think they might be. So it's just looking a little bit more into not starting from scratch, but trying to develop more of what's happening into that intergenerational space.
Mm. And indeed, of course, you're in a unique position because of your connections internationally through the global network of people doing intergenerational connections. And you've gone off to Sydney to a conference and rub shoulders with other people who are trying to stimulate this kind of thing in their areas and their districts across Australia and other parts of the world. So I'm wondering, what do you see happening in the global movement? What's growing? What's coming out of their experiences? What are some of the trends?
Yeah, I think there's a huge international focus at the moment on social connection. I think coming from the World Health Organization as well, in that in back in October 24, I think it was, they released a report around ageism, and that three proven ways to address that, one being intergenerational connections. And I think that has really moves that global thought around how important social connection is for us and our overall well-being. So globally, I think, you know, as you mentioned, the Global Week is coming up, and that is, I think, a yearly opportunity for us as on a global stage to share knowledge and research, because the research is overseas a lot more, obviously a little bit more than New Zealand, unfortunately, at the moment. We've got, there's a lot of research coming out, but here it's getting there, but it's just being aware of the overall benefits. I think we need to look at it not just from an individual benefit, but from a how it's strengthening our communities as well. Mm. Is really important.
Yeah, and I think that perhaps it's easier to get the feedback and the measurement happening in smaller communities, where community building is critical for, as part of recovery, say, following disasters. So we've had a lot of those sorts of situations happening around New Zealand, whereas perhaps in the melting pot of Auckland, where we have a lot more economic friction and difficulties of employment and so on, people are often so focused on their own immediate situation that reaching out to build community is a lot harder.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, however many years ago, relying on your neighbours was probably a lot easier. Our lives are very busy and consumed with lots of challenges and pressures that we now have from our own local environments and globally what is happening at the moment, you know. So it's one of those things that reliance on other people, and I think COVID was a real, I suppose, eye-opener for that, how we needed to actually rely on each other to survive those moments. It's probably coming more important than people maybe realise, and I think just from a general social connection point of view, how important human contact is for humans, like, you know, how we benefit so much from having that. And from an intergenerational point of view, it opens up a whole new space because we can learn so much from everybody in those different spheres.
And I actually think this Global Week can be an opportunity for us locally to put our big toe in the water and actually trial out some learning experiences in the community with people of other ages. So for some it might be going along to their local library, and there might be an activity where youth and seniors are coming together, or where two or three generations are working together on puzzles or games.
Yeah, I think the Global Week is, for me, because Generations Connect New Zealand is the global or country leads for New Zealand on that global stage. And I think I've always gone into it wanting to showcase what we already do so well. And I know there, like you've highlighted already, you know, there's people doing more and more things. So it's great if we can really share that with from a global perspective. There's a couple of events that are running. We, as an organisation, are trying to get an online bingo with a twist event happening. We've been running a couple up to now, but we know there is that, I suppose, hesitation to join anything online. But it is getting there, and we will keep persevering. So there's a couple of sessions of those, and there's one coming up next week on the 15th of April if you want to come and see what it's like beforehand. But it's just really it's trying to think of different opportunities that may work for people, just to see a different face, have a bit of a laugh, have a chat. And I think if you think of that regarding for the Global Week, anyone can plan something simple and be able to share the benefits of that.
So to know what other people are doing and take a look at what might be happening in your neighbourhood, can you tell us how to go to the Global Week website?
Yeah, so on Generations Connect's website, which is www.genconnectnz.org, there is a What's On page, and that has all the relevant New Zealand and Australian, because we're working very close with them at the moment, events that you could attend. On a bigger picture, it's run by Generations Working Together in Scotland, and they have a supporters page as well where you can look globally what's happening. But there's a strong encouragement for local people to have an afternoon tea and invite lots of generations and share that online and use the hashtag GIW26. You know, it's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be a big event that you're joining, sort of thing.
Okay. So we are looking at, we being senior focused, we are looking at setting up something locally with the Mount Albert Library, and we will announce that.
Cool.
In future programs, but to take place at the end of April as part of the Global Week. So it'll just be one session, but we will look at seeing how that could be extended.
No, that sounds really good. Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I'm always there. If you need to run something past me or want any support, then please just reach out, because that's what our role is to support these kind of events to happen. So anything that I can do for anyone who's interested or would like to know more about, say, the bingo, there's a dance event. You can learn a dance that they're doing. We all do it online together, which is quite nice, and it's adapted. It's done from Australia, but adapted so people who are maybe a little bit less mobile can still enjoy it. And I think it's to Elton John's Crocodile Rock this year, so it's got a lovely little theme with it. So, you know, if anyone, you know, would love to participate or even just think of something they'd like to do themselves, then you definitely please reach out, because that's what I created the organisation for.
Mm, indeed. Well, that's why we've got you on air today. And I think also if anybody's interested in these butterfly houses, for example, I think what we should be doing is actually building resources up so people can email us at seniorfocus104.6fm@gmail.com and just say, look, I want to know, can you send me some of the resources you've got? And then we can just send out a pile of suggestions.
Yeah, we've got online, we're trying to, on our website as well, we're creating a New Zealand map of mapping out intergenerational activities and connections, because I think it's really important. There's lots of organisations that do different things and it's really important to showcase those. So there's a variety and we're growing it. So if you know of any sort of intergenerational organisation or activity that happens regularly and takes place, then you can reach out to us. It's info@genconnectnz.org so that we can sort of highlight and contact them and put them onto that map as well. So it's spreading the word, really. It's really showing that it's not just a couple of things. There's actually, as we dig deeper, lots and lots of more activities that are happening around the place.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a conversation that I often have when I'm interacting with organisations that I'm looking to network with and discover whether there's potential to have them join us on air. And that way we would be able to supply resources to your site, but also directly to our members.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I think so. One of the areas where I see room for improvement is when children, younger children or teenagers, are used to as interpreters in a health situation, or as digital gurus to unpack whatever digital question the senior in the household or the extended family has. And so many seniors sit at home, oh, I can't use that computer, I have to wait for when my grandson turns up. And he turns up when he's got time, whenever he is at a loose end and feels like having afternoon tea on the house. but doesn't really commit to having a regular relationship where there might be give and take. And so rushes in, fixes a few things and maybe unfixes some other things in the process. So after he's been, the next week I hear, oh, it's not working as well in this area. So yes, I've got such and such going now, but I still can't do so and so.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the connections we need in this intergenerational space is actually not our family and whānau ones. That I think they need to be people that we don't know, and sometimes we get a lot more when it's not our direct. There was the program in Australia when the teenagers with the older adults that they did a couple of programs for, and it was really evident that sometimes, especially in that teenage space, they didn't really want to open up to a family member. They were in a space that they just wanted a listening ear of someone else that wasn't really directly related or involved, and that actually was easier for them to maybe share their concerns or their apprehension about things. And I think that's in a really important space. Sometimes we do relax a bit more when it's someone we don't know. It's easier to have a chat.
Yes, and some people who've got had particular traumas or lost children or grandchildren sometimes find that they're very good with other people's children.
Yeah.
And that can be a very healing thing, to be able to be giving and sharing and enjoying another generation, similar age to their own connections in their own family, but not where the trauma has occurred.
Yeah, and I think from a Generations Connect point of view too, we sort of really want to advocate for all generations. We see a lot of young children working with older adults, and they are very important situations, and we want to encourage them. But I think there's scope to explore all generations interacting, whether that's people in their 50s and 60s with early, you know, 20s and 30s. You know, the benefit for everybody is growing, I think, with having societies that are more and communities more connected, regardless of your age. Obviously, we want to start children young with getting used to being around different ages, because it develops their empathy and their communication skills and a whole lot of other things. But we want to keep that momentum going so that it never stops in our communities.
Mm. Yes, it doesn't need to be complicated, as
no,
you said,
no.
Karen. And I think that's a really strong message. You might pause and you might think twice before you dip your toe in the water, but exploring is not going to do many people much harm, but it may lead to some very interesting journeys.
Yeah, and I think the key sometimes, and I think this is well, I know personally in myself, it's hard to take that first step, and I think where I come from is if you take that first step and what your environment isn't right, then that's okay, because we need to be providing different ways for you to find what works for you. So, you know, we run a particular program. I know there's different organisations that offer different sort of, whether it's one-to-one volunteering and visiting people or whatever it may be. I suppose you need the confidence to go and try a few of these and see what works for you. And if it's nothing, then come to an organisation like us and we can say, well, what are you looking for, and let's see if we can create that kind of environment somewhere, because there's probably more people like you that need that kind of connection as well.
Yes, so Karen, would you like to give us your contact details for the listeners?
Yeah, so the best way to contact us as an organisation, as I said, is the email address info@genconnectnz.org. That will come through to us and me, and we can then, as I said, or you can just go on the website. If you access the website, there's a contact form on there that you could just type in if you're able. That's probably the easiest way to get hold of us at the moment, is through those two ways. So email us straight or go onto the website that gives a contact form to connect us.
Well, that's tremendous. I'm hoping that we'll actually hear about people's experiences and that people will let us know at Senior Focus, and that we can continue to explore this topic in future programs.
Sounds great.
Thanks for coming in, Karen.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening in to the listeners. And we look forward to having you with us next week.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.
Forest green, parsley, sage, rose.